I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Christine Quintana is a co-creator of Good Things to Do, an online production that places individuals in dreamlike, immersive experiences. It is part of the Nightwood Theater presenting the Rumble Theater online experience. The production hopes to encourage goodness and generosity in a time when isolation has been viewed negatively during the COVID-19 pandemic. Today, Christine talks about the development of Good Things to Do, its inspirations, and what she hopes will resonate with audiences.
My name is Christine Quintana, and I am one of the co-creators of Good Things to Do. I've been making and performing in theater since I was about 9 years old. I started as an actor, and now I'm also a playwright, a producer, dramaturg, and I kind of do all kinds of things all in live theater, which has been very interesting in the last year and a half with the pandemic shutting down live theater everywhere. Good Things to Do was originally built as sort of an installation piece. And so it was a piece where we would bring people in one by one, and we had a really unique sort of physical setup for it. And we had toured the piece to Kingston, and on the way back, our set got stolen, which is hilarious because it was a bunch of tents and blankets and pillows and nothing super valuable monetarily, but at least useful, hopefully, to whoever has them now. And so we were like, oh, we don't know how we're going to do this show again. And then when the pandemic hit and live in-person performance was shut down, we very quickly, kind of within the first month, were like, oh, we can bring this show online really easily. And given what the show is and does, it seems like something that people might really need and want right now. And so Sam McKinnon, who's one of the collaborators, is a programmer, and he had already built a web app for the piece, even in its early form, and just made some additions to add live streaming sound and a couple other things. And within 6 weeks, we were ready to go online, which is pretty exciting. And in the first days, we broadcast from our homes, and there was three of us. And at that time, we couldn't even be together. My roommate and I do the show, and so does our friend who lives down the block. And so even though we were like a 5-minute walk away at that time, in April 2020, we couldn't be in each other's apartments. So we were streaming from our neighborhood kind of out to people as far away as, like, we had people from Turkey and Colombia, the UK. It was really exciting. Yeah.
She mentions the major influences that contributed to the production of Good Things to Do.
The very, like, beginning of Good Things to Do was in the fall of 2016, right after the 45th U.S. president was elected, when things seemed like so grim and so bleak. And so many different communities were sort of grieving that in so many different ways. And, you know, there's a lot of artists and art movements that are about, like, in dark times. To be like, look at this, don't look away, to really confront people with the issues that are going on, which is totally a valid sort of artistic and political response. But I was interested in sort of being radical in a different direction of saying, you know, in times that seem really difficult and that are really challenging and traumatic to navigate, what about making art that's restorative and has the aim of actually being restorative and empowering to people, to try to give people strength and motivation to get through difficult times? And so the show kept being relevant, sadly, because obviously we're on a pretty grim trajectory globally at the moment. And in particular, the pandemic offered a new shade to this, because it was always performed individually. So even when we had audiences, we had them all separate, so they experienced the show by themselves. And so it was really simple for us to pivot and make a show that goes out to people who are alone in their homes. And especially right now with the Delta variant, kind of seeing a lot of the orders backtrack, people are back into isolation or feeling really stressed about socializing or going into public spaces. This is meant to be something that makes you feel safe, makes you feel strong, and makes you feel connected to other people.
Mm-hmm. That's actually one thing I want to talk about with the production is, I know on the website it advises that individuals experience this alone. How did you come up with that idea?
I really was interested in challenging how technology seems inherently alienating. And I was interested in, I have felt that way. And so I was interested in challenging that and looking for the idea that technology can be intimate. You experience, it's not like a viewing experience where you sit with somebody and you watch something. This is as personal as a conversation between two people. And Sam has designed the web interface to feel like that. And the sound score by Molly McKinnon and Michelle Cutler is all about kind of immersion and sort of losing yourself in this very intimate space just between you and what happens on the screen. And I think there's something really powerful about who you are when nobody's watching, when it's just you. And especially, you know, we associate technology so closely with social media, which is all about performance and outside aesthetic. And this is something totally different. This is about privacy and sort of going into your internal world, because it draws so much on imagination that it would be very different if you had somebody sitting next to you. The images and the things that it conjures up and the questions that it asks you, even if you had even your partner or your kid or your best friend with you, there's still an element of performance to how you experience it. And so we encourage everybody to take this moment just to be with yourself and to release any kind of social or emotional societal pressures you feel to perform and just be present.
Imagination is essential to the production. With the uncertainty of real-life situations and places due to the pandemic, Christine says imagination can be a form of empowerment.
I find especially like right now, when it's so impossible to fathom what our lives are going to look like a year from now. And, you know, so many things like seeing certain family members doing certain social rituals that we have, traveling, like so many things are off the table. I've always really been interested in the imagination as a territory for escape and empowerment because it's limitless. And I think a lot of things in our modern society kind of rob us of imagination. You know, we've become very literal, and a lot of media and arts, especially unfortunately in the streaming capacity, means it's just delivered to you. And like, that is what it is. But in imagination, it's kind of limitless. And to sort of have the stage be not just the screen, but the stage is actually what's happening inside every participant's head and the things that they imagine and picture. That's such a rich and exciting thing. And that's something, once you kind of place something into somebody's subconscious or imagination, it's theirs to keep, which I hope is something people take away from the piece.
The music of the production helps create the intended atmosphere. Collaborations on the project include violinist Molly McKinnon and composer Michelle Cutler.
Yeah, so Molly's a violinist, and she was the first person to kind of join on to developing the piece. In person, live music is a big part of it. She's a violinist, and the quality of strings playing is so inherently emotional and very resonant. And it carries beautifully over into this digital format. And sort of using, you know, violin as an expression of the soul a little bit. And then that is joined by Michelle as a sound designer, and made these very vivid, very layered soundscapes. And there's continuous sound through the whole piece. So as soon as you put your headphones on, you're sort of immersed. And sound has such a quality in terms of like what it does to your like neurons in your brain. Like it's I find that it is a portal, sort of, that if it was just what you see on the screen, that might not have the same sort of immersive quality that the sound does. And so that's a really important thing. And, you know, it's kind of funny, the piece is very relaxing. And so once in a while we have people who just fall asleep. They're just listening to the beautiful sounds and they fall asleep and they miss everything that's on the screen. But I'm like, hey, that's okay. If it gives you like a moment of rest and just like taking yourself somewhere else, like mission accomplished, that's fantastic.
The production is set to start on September 27th, and Christine hopes all individuals come in with a sense of curiosity.
Really hope that people come with a sense of curiosity. And that it really matters, like each participant really matters. We don't start until everyone shows up. So it's not the kind of thing that you just kind of roll by and you hit play at 8 o'clock and then you kind of make your dinner while it's going on. It's like actually almost like having a friend over to your house. Like it needs your attention and focus. And you're a really important part of the piece as a participant. And so I hope everyone who comes is able to carve out a little bit of space to have a visit from a friend.
Good Things to Do will run from September 27th to October 2nd. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.